Philippians 4:13, as we read last week, it says, I can do all things. This is not about Paul being prideful, going, oh, you know, this is saying, I can. I can do it because Christ is in me. I can do it because God's living inside of me. I can do it because God says he's going to do it. I can speak out truth. I can speak out healing. I can speak out provision. I can speak out healing. I can speak out that God is restored. I can do it because what now is happening is inaccurate. But I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We spoke about what you believe, you are accepting, which means that is what you are receiving, and you will see the fruit of it. When you believe it, you accept it, which means you are going to receive it, and you will see the fruit of it. There's so much scripture that's proven around this. The fact of what you're sowing is what you're reaping. It amazes me how many Christians are praying for a harvest, yet they're not sowing anything. What you believe, you accept, which means you shall receive what you're speaking out, and when you see it, and you will see the fruit of it. And do you remember the situation that you're seeing or facing today does not define your destiny? Because he spoke to Sarah, who'd never conceived a child, and he said to Sarah, out of you, kings will come. In the current situation that she was living, at the thing that was happening, he was saying, what you're doing right now is not defining who I am calling you to be, Sarah. And I'm calling you to be a mother that will reestablish kings. And out of kings comes kingdoms. Amen? I'm going to read to you this morning Philippians 1, chapters 27 and 28. This is Paul writing a letter to the Philippians. It's on the screen with me. Whatever happens... Whatever happens, this is Paul writing on death row. Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in the manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. You know, I could do a whole sermon on just that one sentence. Whatever happens, conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Then, whether I come and see you, or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed, but that you will be saved, and that by God. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him, since you're going through the same struggle you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. I want to talk to you this morning. Have you ever faced something in your life that you thought you'd actually overcome before? Have you ever faced something that you actually thought you'd overcome that? Have you ever come up against a fear and anxiety that you thought, hold on, I thought I'd overcome this issue in my life, but somehow it rises up? Have you ever, life becomes so sophisticated, but who knows that the struggles sometimes just stay the same? Am I preaching to anyone else this morning? The intensity of it may change, but the struggle is still very real. God's been good, God's been faithful to you, you've learned so much, but the struggle is still there. The struggle is still the same. Feels like you're maybe possibly going around in circles on the same road over and over. But I do want to speak some truths this morning, and as much as this may be harsh, the struggle is not about the money. The struggle is not about the family. The struggle is not even against your husband or your wife. The struggle is not about the study that you're facing. The struggle is not about your illness. The struggle is about what is inside of you and how it's facing the struggle that's got before you. Because as we spoke to you, God speaks to the destiny that's coming out of you, not from the current situation. He went down to Gideon and he said, Gideon, you're a mighty man of valor. Now you go out in the strength that I've given you. Remember we said that Gideon wanted to have a chat with the angel and talk about, why me? Did you not see what had happened? Why have you abandoned us? And all this stuff. And the angel just said, I've come to do two things. Tell you you're a mighty man of valor, and secondly, get up in the strength that I've given you. Because God says, I know where you are right now. I can see it, but you're not to be staying here. The choice is now yours, Gideon, and you move forward. So the struggle is very real. But how you choose to deal with that is coming from within, because whatever you believe, you are accepting, which means that you shall be receiving. Some of us have still got the same struggles that we did when we were kids. But I heard this quote and it really hit me, and it says this: don't let your internal struggles strip you from your outward success. Don't let your internal struggles strip you from your outward success. Because God says that I will call you to be fruitful and successful. So don't let your internal struggle strip you from what God is trying to do and bring forth in the outward success. We tend to see mountains in our lives, and we're trying to think that we need to overcome every single mountain that's coming before us. Or we're praying, God, remove this mountain. Dad spoke at our Bible study last week about how the lady was praying that God remove the mountain. But let me ask you this. How about God is placing that mountain there so every time you walk around it, you get a little bit stronger? Who knows that if I was to start hiking as of today, I'm hoping and praying that in 5 weeks' time, I'll be a lot stronger than what I started off this morning, amen? Because I can do the same route, I can do the same road, I can do the same hills, I can do the same valleys, I can do the same mountains, but I will get stronger in the name of Jesus, amen? Because my body is built to be trained and to be strengthened. So how about when we just pause from stopping and rebuking every mountain that seems to be in our world right now and start rebuking that it is a satanic thing and just say, maybe this is God trying to bring strength in my life. As I was saying, that the scripture we just read, Paul's talking to the church of Philippi. And he says, I can't wait to visit you. But the truth is, I'm actually in prison, so I probably can't. So he's probably, and he's turning to say, this is the best I can do, is write to you and encourage you. And he said, I can't go because at this point it looks like that things aren't going to go well. I'm on death row basically. So I don't really know. But I love how he starts it. And he says, whatever's happening. He's still speaking a voice of confidence and a voice of strength. But you know, the whole book of Philippi, the whole book of the Philippians is written out of a man who is constantly struggling. Can someone say amen? In the book of Philippians and Colossians, we read that this is the scripture: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. I have fought the good fight. That is from a man who has been prison, who is on death row for doing absolutely nothing wrong. Because of his faith, he sat there and he wrote out all these scriptures, and you and I quote scriptures from a man who went through hell and back. Can someone say amen? So maybe God is allowing you to go through certain things because it is going to draw something out of you. We shout in our most difficult times in our season, I know that my Redeemer lives. For me and my house we shall serve the Lord. For I know all things work together for good. Blessed is a man who remains steadfast under trial. For when he has stood the test of time, he shall receive the crown of life. They are from people that went through hell on this given earth. And you and I stand here thousands of years later and we quote the same scriptures. Who knows that these were not written in their heart? They were spoken out. For I know my Redeemer lives. And if I die, I speak, I know my Redeemer lives. He says, even though I've stood the test, we are quoting what men of God have spoken out, and we now hold on to them. These are quotes of people who were going through literal pain and hell, losing everything that they ever knew. Their faith was being tested at every angle, yet they chose to speak it out. So I wonder how much of God is actually trying to bring out of you through what you're going through. Whatever happens, guess what? That means whatever is happening. Whatever happens. Absolutely whatever is happening. I know every single one of you is sitting here with an issue in your life right now. I'm speaking to that issue. Whatever is happening. Paul said this from a prison cell: conduct yourselves in a manner worthy to the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, I've got strength for. But am I conducting myself in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ? Happiness is not about what's happening around you. Because what's happening is inaccurate for the destiny that God has before you. But in whatever is happening, be governed by the call of God on you and not by your circumstance. Whatever is happening to you, within you, around you, Be governed by the call of God and not by your circumstance. Let me read three keys that was given to us last week when I was down in Melbourne. It says this: you may not be where you want to be, but be darn grateful that you're not where you deserve to be. You may not be where you want to be, but be grateful that you are not where you deserve to be. If right now is not enough for you, guess what? It never will be. Because if you are not grateful for what you have, you will not be grateful when you have more, because enough will never be enough. This was a sermon on gratitude, and these three steps just were so truthful. The grace of God will bless you, but gratitude will sustain you. The grace of God will bless you, but the gratitude will sustain you. Paul said, without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. Without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. This morning I'm asking you, who is opposing you? Who is it that is standing between you and your miracle? What is obstructing you from receiving what God is trying to bring through you? See, David in the Word of God, David and Goliath, until that moment where David faces Goliath, until that very moment, not before or a lead up, no, the moment he went face to face with Goliath, only then do we know the story of David and Goliath. Before then, he was just a shepherd boy. Remember what the king said? What are you doing here? You're just a shepherd boy. Moments before he faced Goliath, David is known just as a shepherd boy. But when you meet David, when we all go to heaven, we meet him, I guarantee you that he'll tell you, the best thing that ever happened to me was the day I met Goliath. And someone's saying, amen? I bet you if I was to say, David, how do you reckon? He goes, the best thing that ever happened to me is when I met Goliath. Because he realized that that Goliath, which was out to set to kill him, was the very thing that released him to be who he was destined to be. So if we just skip that period of David and Goliath, we don't want to hurt David. He's just a little boy. He's just a, but God's saying, you don't get it. I've raised inside of him something that you cannot see in the outside world. So he had to walk that journey, facing everybody, looking at everybody, just standing behind. Nobody, nobody even had the guts going, well, if he'll go, let me go with him. The poor kid's going to get killed anyway. Not even, they didn't care. It was like, let him go. Not one, not the leader, not the pastor, not the deacons, not the friends, not nothing. Okay, you're dumb enough to go for it. But for him, that was the greatest day of his life because it released his destiny and the call upon his life. The struggle will establish who you truly are. Your haters, the opposers, are making you pray harder. Amen? They're making you praise louder in the name of Jesus. Otherwise, if they are affecting you, they will be silencing you. And that is what will come out of you. Because your opposer, I'm telling you this morning, church, is a liar. Your obstructor, he's a liar. Your hinderer, he's a liar. They're there to tell you that what you're believing is not true. It's opposing, hindering, obstructing the situation and the it is only opposing what it knows and it can see. See, the enemy can only fight you in the battle that you're in. He doesn't bring a storm. He allows a storm to be the thing that drowns you. Can you hear what I'm saying? He doesn't release the storm. The storm happens. God is permissive of that storm. But he'll make sure that the storm drowns you. He doesn't have control. He doesn't have any authority over anything. But every situation that comes before you, he will try to let you struggle through it so then he can become an opposer. But he can only work on what he can see. And what you and I can see is what he can see. But what God is seeing, I see out of you is coming kings and queens. Out of you is coming children. Out of you is coming family. Out of you is coming finances. Out of you is coming. But in this current situation, which is inaccurate, says the word of God. And Satan is dealing with inaccuracy. That's all he's dealing with. He has no authority to touch what has been corrected by God. Are you here with me this morning, church? What did Jesus do on the darkest day on planet Earth? Was Good Friday, which we just celebrated. We just visualized and saw what would have been the darkest day on this earth. 24 hours. What did Jesus go do? I'm here to take what belongs to me and my children. Because what you did is you took victory in what you physically could see. You could see me crucified, but what you didn't know is that the God above all of us has spoken victory, and I have to go to the grave through a man's pain. You and I stand Sunday after Sunday, Monday after Monday, Tuesday after, and we shout out victory, and we declare victory, and we declare healing, because someone went to be crucified and said, I'll go through the pain, I'll go through the struggle, because Jesus said, not my will be done, but your will be done. It was a struggle for Jesus. It was hard for him. It was so intense that he literally popped a vein and it started to bleed from his forehead. It was not easy, but the victory had been spoken and there was a struggle he had to go through. And Saturday morning, he went and said, give me back what was mine in Jesus' name, amen. You and I are dancing on the grave of someone who could only see what was current for that situation. And that's when I believe that God says, let them go to the tomb. They need to go see it for themselves. Let them go and see it. Your opposer is a liar. Your obstructor is a liar. Your hinderer is a liar. You speak to it. You tell him, I know what you're doing because you can see what I can see. But what I cannot see is what God can see. And he said to lift up my eyes. Because when I lift up my eyes, he said, lift up your eyes and see me. Because when I lift up my eyes, you become out of focus. And I begin to see him. If you know God, I'm asking you to trust God. And then he and he alone will define your situation. He and he alone will define your situation. The opposer says you have cancer. The opposer says that you're broke. The opposer says that you're never going to recover. The opposer says you failed and so you're going to fail again. The opposer says it be yourself, but that's what you're saying and speaking over. The opposer says anything that you are living through right now. And Satan is saying whatever he is saying to you is what he is addressing from the current situation. And God is saying, step away. Step away from the current situation. Step away. Let me do it. Luke 20, verse 43. This is God speaking. Luke 20, verse 43. Can you read this with me? Until I make, whose enemies? Until I make your enemies, Morella, until I make your enemies a footstool to your feet, I'm not finished yet. Until I make your enemies, Morella, your opposer, your liar, your hinderer, you're the one who's, until I make that person be a footstool to you. That is the destiny of Satan in my life. That's it. Not my destiny. God spoke that his destiny in my life should be him under my feet. God spoke that. But, you know, that is not easy to do. To sit back, to lift your feet, to be on a footstool, your body has to recline. It gets into a position of relaxation. When you are on the battlefield, that is the last position you feel like taking. Can someone say amen? It's not easy. But the truth is, that enemy's got one position to get to and it's under your feet. So he's saying, you can choose to stress out over this. You can choose to not sleep over this. You can choose to stay awake every night looking at your bank. You can choose that. But I am calling that opposer under your feet. That's what I'm doing. But you take your position, whatever you want to do, that's up to you. But the position that God is taking. Well, the position that God, that one let me go to. This is spoken. So Hebrews 11, chapter 1, I think we're all going to have it memorized by the time I finish preaching. God spoke about that. He spoke that over the word faith, and there was a list of men that were classed as men of faith. Abraham was the top one. Let me show you what God spoke over Abraham in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. God spoke this over. Let's just take a step back. Abraham's the one who laughed when God said, your wife, Sarah, will bear a child. He's the one who laughed. Then he stepped out in faith and he just believed God and he trusted God. And what God said came to pass, because what he does say is going to come to pass. Then God called him to sacrifice that son. And we've all heard the journey story. It wasn't an easy choice, but because of the steps of faith that he took, God spoke this to him. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. The God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were not. And the NIV says, as though they are. God spoke this over Abraham. He said, Abraham, you're a man of faith. You're a man who understands that the current situation is not the destiny I've called you to. But I want you to start to do something else, Abraham. I want you to start to call those things that are not as though they are. Have we not? How many times have we spoken that scripture over our life? Call those things that are not as though they are. Well, I just had the time of my life shredding this scripture to pieces in the heap in the Greek this morning. Let me take you there. It says this. It says, when God says, the God who gives life, life to what's dead. Who knows that what's dead is dead? It's dead for a reason. It's gone. It's passed on. It's left. It's dead. But God says, I will give life to the dead and call. Can I just tell you what the call word means in this? It means to declare and to be direct. So when God says, the God who gives life to the dead and calls and asks you, be direct in what you're about to say. Declare it and be direct. God says, call those things that are dead and be direct and begin to declare it. Abraham, I'm taking you to a place that's impossible to think of, but it's going to be possible. I want you to just declare it and begin to just be direct when you speak it out. Abraham, I'm taking you to a place that is inaccurate, but I'm going to prove it to be correct because I want you now, son of mine, begin to declare and be very direct. Who knows that God doesn't mince his words? The God who gives life to the dead and calls, direct, declare into being things that were. It's written, I've made you. Calls the God who gives life to the dead and calls into being things that were. Let me tell you what not means. Things that are currently not in order. So, the God who gives life to the dead and tells you to declare and be direct that the things that are currently not in order. I was so much more excited than what you guys were. God who says the thing that is dead, it's time for you to declare it and to be direct. The things that are not currently in order, the next one says into being, to call it into being. Do you know what that means? Call it into the present term. So let me just get this, Romans chapter 4. Abraham, what you feel like, I've completely messed up your life. Son, this is it. I'm telling you, the God that you serve is going to tell you and ordain you to speak this over your life. I give you direction and clarity to speak those things that are currently not happening, that currently are not in order. Call them into the present. Can someone say amen? What did God, Jesus, say to his disciples? He said in the first book, he said, how do we pray? He said, you pray like this, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Stop there and wait. Oh, when I get to heaven, God's going to heal me. No, God says you're going to walk this earth healed in the name of Jesus because the testimony is for your generations. He said, your kingdom come. He said, no, sit there and pray for me out in heaven. I got it all. I want you to call it into the present. He said, it's dead. Your dream is dead. Your business is dead. Your womb is dead. Your marriage is dead. Call it. Be direct. Begin to declare it. Call it out into what is not correct and begin to say, into the present you come. Into the present you come. Into the present you come. Every situation that is incorrect right now could be on the verge of dying. But this morning we can give it CPR and we're going to say, what you did not know is this morning I've been given an authority to be very direct with you. Be very direct. God said to Abraham, call those things. Declare and be direct. God says, could you start to speak like me? How many times, oh, God, I just ask you to be with me. That you just won't leave me. I never said I was leaving you. We're putting things out there that are not correct. Declare. I'm going out to my business this morning. I'm going out to my workplace. Maybe you're going out to a business that's currently dead. The doors are shut. There's a for sale sign. How about we go there this week and we pull the for sale sign off and says, I speak to you directly. I call you back into the present. Because God says, what is dead to call back into life. Your dream, your desires, whatever it is, you begin to be direct. He said this to Abraham. He said to Abraham, listen, it's not going to be easy. But every struggle you face, you will see the impossible God rise up. Everything you will see, Abraham, everything that I ask you to do, it feels like it's going to be impossible. How could you do that? How could a father put his son up to be saved? How could he ask of that? It's okay, Abraham. It's okay. I will take in you so that generations will see. Not your will, but my will. Not my will, but your will be done, God. Begin to call, declare, be direct those things that are not in order to come and call them into the present. Verse 28 said, don't be intimidated in any way by your enemy, coming from the man who's on death row. Listen to what he said next. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemy, the liar, the opposer, the enemy. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? He said, I want you to, this will be a sign to them that they shall be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved by God Himself. So you know what? The sign that you have taken is a thing that's going to destroy you, that is going to keep you down, is actually a sign that you're going to be delivered in Jesus' name. Can someone say amen? Because if Satan could have destroyed you, he would have. He doesn't wait for tomorrow or next Sunday. If he could have destroyed you, he would have. The fact that he has not destroyed you, meaning because God is going to deliver you through it. Every situation that right now feels like it is out of control, out of it, you cannot see how this is going to change. God's saying, I'm keeping it alive inside of you because you need to know I'm your deliverer. Nothing else is going to take you through it. No one else is going to see you through it. I am telling you, your enemies will not only be a footstool to you, but they shall be destroyed. And you are going to be saved. If Satan could have destroyed you, I'm telling you, he would have, but he can't. Bottom line, he can't touch you. Why? Because you came into his presence this morning. You came into the presence of God and you got yourself covered under the anointing. That's why he can't touch you. That's why we come and we just build ourselves up. And that's why we stand here together. We stand and we link arms with each other. We come here and we have brokenness in here. We have issues in here. We have failures in here. We have past histories in here. But we stand here one in one spirit, Paul said. In one spirit, we stand here and we share in the struggles that we're both carrying. Your struggles may not be bigger than my struggles, but my struggles aren't bigger than your struggles. But we're all facing a struggle. But God said that to them, that is going to be destroyed and I will deliver you. You're still struggling. It's still hard. I'm telling you, that means victory is still up for grabs. Victory is still up for grabs. The struggle you're facing is the truth that if you believe that what God said is going to be, so shall it be. You're going to make it. Some of you have looked at this mountain and says, I can't do it again. I'm telling you to look at the mountain and say, I'll go again. I've looked at the storm, I was like, I can't do this again. I want you to look at the storm this morning and go, I'll go again. Because it can't kill me. It can't destroy me. The only person who makes the choice is you. Satan only presents your situation back to your face. God says, I'm your deliverer. The struggle is real, but I will take you through it. Our one job, as I call the worship team back up, our one job is to call, declare, be direct that those things that are not in order, call them into the present. That's the truth of what is unfolding before you right now. Just know that if God is calling you to declare something from heaven, that means he's prepared it in heaven. If God's saying, can you start praying for healing, start declaring healing, do you know what? He would not ask you to do something that he's not got prepared for you. Like we know, he will not sit you in an exam that you are not well trained for and prepared for. Every time that mountain shows up, you have strength that you didn't have the last time you went to this mountain. The mountain of fear, the mountain of hurt, the mountain of offense, the mountain of pain. God, I can't do it. I just can't. I can't do it. I can't do it. I can't do another year facing these same challenges. Really? You're not doing what you did when you were 5 years old. Every time you fell, you obviously got back up again and you kept trying. Hence why we walked into the building this morning. You know that if a child fell and said, I can't do it, I just can't walk, would you allow it as its parent to just say, oh, okay, that must be just too hard for you? No, God had given you legs. You can do this. And who knows that when my sister had her children, poor baby Luca, the second one, we just compared everything he did to Eva. Eva was just off the rails. She was walking, she was talking, she was doing everything. Luca, he was like cruising at 18 months on his backside, didn't want to get up, didn't want to move. We knew he was going to do it, but eventually we were like, come on, Luca, just imagine if he would have been happy to crawl for the rest of his life. But we didn't. We didn't allow him. Every time he came to our house, poor kid, I think he was like, I don't want to go back to nonna nonna's because all I have to do is they pick me up and they make me walk. Now the kid's running like it. Now I'm thinking, now as parents, grandparents, we're like, maybe we should let him crawl for a little while. It was a bit easier to control back then. But we know. What are you saying to God? It's too hard? Yeah. But your legs are strong. Your legs are strong. You can do this. I can't climb that mountain, God. It's been too hard. We've been there. We've been to the doctors that many times. Yeah, but I haven't spoken the final word yet. So keep going back to the doctor's surgery. I am a true believer that God has anointed men on this planet to take us through. We are in a blessed country. We have got access to things that half the world would only dream of having access. So I'm going to go to my doctor, but he will not have the final say over me. My God shall always have the final say. I am presented with situations. Yeah, they traumatize me. Yeah, I've seen stuff that had come before me. I've seen things written down in paper. I'm like, really? Really, God? Is that? And I wonder how many times God says, is that what, Morella? Is that what? What is that? What is that? What is that? I can see what you can see. And how many times have I had to say, I can see it too, God? But this is a man's handwriting, and you're my healer. So I give to you what their man gave to me, and I present it back to your throne room. Maybe I present it back to my footstool. The season really doesn't change. The struggles don't seem to shift, but you are getting stronger. And the fact that you're here is proof to Satan that victory is still up for grabs. So many people this morning made choices. Do you know every single one of them? And we don't know why people are here and why aren't people out of here. But do you know how many the enemy went to and just said, it's okay, just get to church tonight. You'll be fine. Do you want me to show you? I went to the hospice yesterday morning to say goodbye to a dear lady. You know what it feels like when you look at someone in the face who is moments away from meeting God, their Savior? But yet we have conversations with Satan. Oh yeah, I'll go tonight. Yeah, I'll go there on Wednesday. You know what, it's okay, I'll do that. Do you know what that lady that's about to say hello to Jesus face to face? Because she's, by the grace, has been given chances right now to get her life right with Christ. And she's been with Dad too. You know how many people last Wednesday night, you couldn't get out of this road because two accidents have happened. A head-on collision at Coorong and a scooter. Three people killed on their way home to meet their children. But we're too busy having a conversation about should I go to church I'll just get there next week. A young person on a scooter killed down here at the roundabout at Jesmond. Two head-on collisions down at Coorong. This was all blocked. And you know what? We're all getting frustrated about the traffic. You're here this morning because victory is still in your hands.